Brothers actually asked me to come and give you a teaching this morning. The elders asked me to come and share with you a teaching about those times around Galilee. But I don't feel like giving a teaching this morning, brothers. I keep remembering my son. It would have been his birthday around this time. Hadn't been for the Romans and the priests and the Pharisees, he would still be with us. Simon Peter tells me I must forget, but it's so hard to lose your son, to lose your only son. We were just ordinary working class peasants of Galilee, eking out a sort of living. I did some carpentry work in the fields, met a man named Joseph up around Nazareth, and his son, who was his apprentice at the time, Jesus, who became after a while a rabbi, started doing and saying all sorts of things around Galilee. And my son, quite younger than he, started getting on fire for the Lord and for Israel, and that Israel's glory would be restored. I tried to hold him back, knowing what was ahead of him with the Romans and the temple police, but his heart was set on fire for Israel. And I saw there was John the Baptizer and Jesus, and thinking that John was safer of the two, after all he was the son of a priest, I suggested my son follow John. And when he heard Jesus say to forgive your enemies, well, that convinced my son he was going to be with John. He didn't want to forgive the Romans. He wanted to fight them and drive them out. Didn't hear from him for a while. And after John was killed by Herod, my son went and joined the Zealots. And then I heard the news. He'd been captured by the Romans for stealing. I thought they might put him in prison for a while, perhaps even sell him off into slavery, but I didn't think they were going to execute him just for being a thief. Perhaps it was because he was now one of the Zealots that they decided that they would kill him. And brothers, when the Romans kill Jews and Zealots, it's only one thing, and that's crucifixion. I don't know if you've ever seen a man being crucified. It's not as though they want to kill them. They just want to torture them to death and degrade them and defile them. We knew what crucifixion was like. We remembered that day when the Romans crucified 300 down by Sepphoris. I went as fast as I could to Jerusalem. I knew I couldn't save my son, but I could at least be there with him that day. It wasn't as though they were content with crucifying him. They almost flogged him within an inch of his life before they crucified him. And then just for fun, they made him carry his cross out to the hill of execution, a hill called Calvary, the place of the skull. What a horrible name for a horrible work. They were crucifying two others that day, another criminal and Jesus. Now, I thought Jesus was a crazy rabbi, but he didn't deserve to die. I'd heard him preach a couple of times, but I had a comfortable life, and I followed the law, and I thought, I don't need a rabbi like him. As my son was carrying his cross to Calvary, he fell under the weight of it. Jesus fell too nearby. The Romans called a man and forced him to carry the cross of Jesus. And I went forward. I'd been afraid of what they might do to me, but nothing was going to stop me now. I knew I couldn't save my son, but at least I could ease his pain for a moment. When we got to Calvary, they threw him on the ground and nailed him to that beam. And the scream that came from my son as they drove that nail into one wrist and then into the other. And as they pulled that beam up, with him held on it solely by the nails, pulling against his bone, and as it ripped the air from his lungs when it dropped into place. They were crucifying Jesus too at that time. I heard him cry out, "Father, forgive them," as though it was a prayer. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they were doing." And I thought to myself, How could God forgive? God doesn't know what it's like to see your son being crucified. God doesn't know what it's like to lose a son, your only son. I was so filled with anger and my own stuff that I didn't realize what was happening that day. I didn't see who was there that day and what was being done for me. Other things happened at that time too. The centurion calling out, truly this man was a son of God. And then my son in his agony flopped almost his head to the side and looked on Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. And from that moment on, my son never took his eyes off Jesus. And even though he suffered terribly, there was this strange but deep and powerful peace in his eyes. It was Passover the next day. I guess the priest didn't want the crucified ones looking on Jerusalem on the holy days, so they arranged to have their legs broken. I was so angry that day, I didn't hear what was being said and done for me. And I didn't hear the words that Jesus spoke to me from the cross. Oh, they weren't words you could hear in your ears. They were words straight into my heart. But I was so full of anger that I didn't listen. Indeed, I was so angry with him, I was hoping the authorities would stamp out all of their followers. Soon, they captured a man named Stephen, one of Jesus' followers, and stoned him to death. And as they stoned him to death, his face shone, as we are told, Moses' face shone on Mount Sinai, and his eyes just filled with a love and a peace as he called out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, the same words of Jesus. And there was in his eyes this love and this passion. He reminded me so much of my son that my heart began to melt. What was this love of the followers of Jesus that in the face of their enemies and their death, they could love and have a peace in their eyes? What was this love that when they thought of God, they called him Abba? Much like my son had called me when he too was growing up. I had to know more. And so I followed some of Stephen's friends, a man named John, who had recognized me from that day at Calvary. And after we had buried Stephen, he began to tell me of Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus I had known all those years before but never paid any attention to. And then I began to remember the words that Jesus spoke to me from the cross, straight into my heart. And the same words that he says to you, to each of you. And these are the words that Jesus says to you and to me from the cross. I am your Lord, and I am your God, and in my opinion, I think you are worth dying for. In my opinion, I think you are worth dying for. And then I began to remember who else was there that day at Calvary. The God who I now call Abba, Father, who, like me, could not bear to see his son die alone. Who, like me, could not bear to watch his son suffer and die. And I remember what else happened that day. That day I walked up the hill of Calvary. I felt like an orphan and alone and hopeless. And that day I walked down, I had found God, my Father, Abba. That day I walked up the hill of Calvary. I felt useless and worthless and hopeless. And that day when I walked down, I had found my God, Jesus, Son of God, my Savior, my brother, my friend. That day I walked up the hill of Calvary, I felt powerless and useless and no good. And when I walked down, I had found the God, Holy Spirit, abiding in my heart, who called me his temple and anointed me with power. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have a God who is our Father, who lives no longer far, far away, but abides in the sanctuary of our own hearts, and abide wherever two or three or more good men come together. Yes, my brothers, we have a God who loves us, who says to you and says to me, and even while we were still sinners, even while I was still a sinner, says to me as he says to you, in my opinion, I think you are
worth dying for. Peace be with you.
Shake the hand of the man beside you and tell him, in my opinion, God thinks you are worth dying for.